That'd be one we could sing twice there. If you're saved and you know you're going to heaven, give me an amen.
Amen.
How many of you are ready for summer? I keep reminding myself the winter solstice is adding. How many days did you say, Beth? How many minutes does it add? 2 minutes a day, we're getting warmer, all right? That's what I'm holding on to. Now, I would tell you, last year, this week, starting to remind me a little bit of Pittsburgh, but hopefully that'll go away. Good to have you guys with us. Beth, what do you have the verse for today? Romans 5:8. So take your Bible and turn to Romans 5:8. All right, I'm gonna ask a different person each week to give us a verse that we're gonna memorize, and at the end of the year, we will have memorized 52 verses, Romans 5:8. If you'll read that with me, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, you got to read it with me, guys. All right, you ready? 1, 2, 3. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that's the verse this week. If you don't already know that one, that'll be the one to hide in your heart. Write it on a card, stick it in your window, and we'll do that again. Miss Josetta, you got the verse next week, okay? You get to pick it out, all right? And we'll do that. So that's the verse this week, Romans 5:8, and that's one that I memorized a long time ago. I'm very thankful that I've got that in my memory, but I definitely need lots more. So that'll be the verse this week, and we'll read that again this evening. You got a lot of people to pray for, and people that are sick and not able to come, remember them. And I don't know if I'm missing any other announcements. Okay, Brother Ronnie.
Good morning, everybody. If you would please stand and get a hymn book and turn to hymn 113, and our brother deacons will come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Arnold Stevens, would you ask the blessing and offering, please?
Okay, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and we can start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Two years ago, I took Pastor Shannon Foote down to Africa. He pastors Grace Baptist Church in Marrero, Louisiana, and that is the first place Maggie and I was in ministry. I was assistant pastor there for a little bit, and I ended up pastoring that church. And now when I resigned, Shannon's dad became the pastor, and then now he's the pastor, and he's been there for several years. I took him to Africa. We got back, and his church was thankful that he had a chance to go. I had some frequent flyer miles that I used to help get him there, and because they'd been supporting it for a long time and just wanted him to have a chance to see it. So probably a month after we got back off that trip, he called me and he said, "Hey, Dave, our church wants to do something for you. And for helping me get to Africa." And I said, "Well, you don't need to do that." But they bought him and myself a ticket to Israel. And that was 2 years ago. And so 2 years ago, I should have already been in Israel and back by now. But of course, COVID, that went. Actually, it's been probably scheduled 3 times since then and all 3 times canceled. And it's actually scheduled for Tuesday. Well, all this week you could not get into Israel, and then all of a sudden Saturday it came open. So it looks like I'm going to be going to Israel next week. On Tuesday, I'll be flying out from here to Chicago, then Chicago to Istanbul, Turkey, and that'll be a first one for me. And then on to Tel Aviv, and then I'll be spending the next few days there, and then coming home. Brother Kermit's going to be preaching for me next Sunday, and I really appreciate him helping with that. But now that I'm taking this, it's hard because I'm torn. Usually when I travel, I go to Africa, and this is something that 100 things could knock it out, and I could still get knocked out if I test positive for COVID Monday, then I'm staying, right? But looking at it, there's no doubt that God wanted me to take this trip. Now, I'm going to Israel, and there's a lot of pastors that would love to have that opportunity to do that. There's a lot of people that would, that's been their life goal. In fact, the guy that's taking us says, "Hey, if you love the Bible, you will love Israel," because that's where Jesus walked. And now that I have, now that I'm going to take this trip, and Lord willing, unless, like I said, I get COVID Monday, I'm going to be off to Israel. And I thought, all right, so now becomes this chapter in my life where I'm going to learn. That's the way it is with everything in our life from the Lord. Let's pray, and I'll read this verse to you. Father, thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, you are so vast in your knowledge and the complexity of who you are. We can only grasp the very fringes of that. Lord, oftentimes we have problems of even understanding you, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit, Lord, to open our eyes. Lord, many times you talk in the Bible, and an earthly man just cannot understand heavenly things. And Lord, these, in fact, it's even mentioned in the Bible that they're too deep for us. And oftentimes we find ourselves wading through the pages of this Bible, and it is deep. Lord, but we're taught that if we continue in your word and we walk with you, and as that relationship builds, Lord, that you open our eyes and we begin to learn of you. And it's something that never ends. But Father, we do not put enough effort into learning of you. And Lord, I pray that you might convict our hearts this morning, and we might leave here with a desire to get to know you better. Father, we love you. Thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving in our lives. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Have you heard the verse that says, "To whom much is given, much is required"? And it says, whoever is forgiven much, loves much. Now, why would that saying be like that? Why would God say, whoever is forgiven much, loves much? Because the person who is forgiven much hath... So when you have a little kid that's 6 and 7 years old, and they get saved, they're, you know, what are some of the things that a six-year-old can confess? That he's been disobedient to his mom and dad, that maybe he's been angry with his brother. And we know those are all sins, and we know that any sin condemns a person to hell. But how many of you would rather trade the confessions of a six-year-old to the confessions of a 20-year-old who did not live for the Lord? Right? Because sin begins to drag you down a darker and deeper road. And the more that sin drags you down that darker and deeper road, it hurts you more. There's more pain. There's more the innocence. A child who only has to confess that they were disobedient to their mom and dad does not have the volume of junk in their mind that maybe some 25-year-old does who's lived in the world, and there's so much negativity in their head that when they come to Christ and Christ forgives them, that oftentimes their appreciation for what occurred is at a greater level because they know what they were forgiven of. Does that make sense? Okay, so the Apostle Paul learned something about Christ that maybe a six-year-old growing up in a fundamental independent Baptist church, that growing up in a life that's been protected from the things of the world, maybe may not understand the richness of forgiveness because they have not walked that road. Now, nor is that a road you want to go walk on purpose. You don't want to go get into sin to figure out how deep the forgiveness of God is. But there's something that the Apostle Paul learned that other people don't have that knowledge because they did not walk that road. I mean, the Apostle Paul, when he says he's the chief of sinners, it came from where his life was. All right, it came from the path that he walked down, and that showed up. So he learned something of God. God is so deep, and God is so rich in the things we can learn from him that we're never going to be able to tap all of that. But when is the last time that we sat down and went on a discovery mission to learn something about God? Do you think you know everything about God, Lloyd? How long have you been saved, Brother Lloyd? 60 years. Do you think you have God figured out? At 60 years being saved, do you think there's still something that God can show you in the Bible about him that you don't know? And that's after walking with the Lord for 60 years. And here's this vault of the richness and goodness of God that's out there and who he is, waiting to be discovered by the people that he loves. It's at our fingertips. You can dive in as deep as you want to. You know, as your life begins to take the path that God wants you to go down, on that path there are opportunities to learn about God. There's opportunities to learn about faith. There are some people in this room where their faith is a little deeper than somebody else's faith. Why? Because they're a better Christian? No, because they took the time to learn something about God. They went down that journey. And in order to have faith, you're going to have to do what? You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to put yourself out on a limb where there's no rope but him. And you're going to have to jump out there, and you're going to have to grab a hold of it and the thin air with nothing but a promise from God. I mean, your heart's hurting. You know, you got a dead end in front of you. You don't know what to do, but you're taught from the Bible you can trust him. So here you go. You close your eyes and you jump. You reach out there, you cannot see the rope, you're just told the rope's there, you've been told it since you were a little kid, you reach out there, and whether or not you actually grab the rope is whether or not you believe it's there. And then once you grab it, you learn something. You learn something that in the middle of emptiness, that you can trust him, and you can hold on to him, and that's going to affect how you go about the rest of your life, because you unlocked a mystery of God. Let me, and by the way, that unlocking only comes from the Holy Spirit and doing what he tells you to do, right? He gives us the instructions about faith. And you can plug that into all different areas of your life. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for him that love him. Let me read that again. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I mean, he's talking about a vault of the richness of God. My eyes have not seen everything that God is. My ears have not heard everything that God is. I can't even fathom all the aspects of an eternal God that loved me so much that he let his son die on that cross. It is there for you to discover. It is there for you to find out. It is there for you to tap into that wisdom, into that knowledge. And what does the Bible say? To learn of him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. To discover who he is. You know, you send a kid to school. You know, how long is an average school day at school? So he got that. You can tell he's an assistant principal. Only he would know that, right? 7.5 hours. All right? 7.5 hours. You're going to send your kid to school for 7.5 hours. They're going to learn math. They're going to learn science. They're going to learn sports. They're going to learn all of these things. And then they're going to come to church in Sunday school. And how long is Sunday school, Brother Sean? 1 hour. So 5 times 7.5 is what? Who teaches math here? 37. Thank you. 37.5 hours learning about math and learning what I found out today. Who needs that? Because calculators have come a long way, amen. You know, you can Google just about anything. So 37.5 hours are spent every week in a kid's life learning about things from math to science to English. And then you come to church and you got 1 hour of sitting in a Sunday school. Now, you can throw in church, and you can add another hour, and then you can throw in Wednesday night, and you've got 3. But unless you start doing some overtime duty in your devotion, you're not going to be able to discover much about God. Now, science has come a long way. Do you know that there was a time when they believed that you could not operate on a human heart? In fact, there was a medical term they used in lab where it says that the human heart was untouchable because you could not work on it because it was moving. And then they discovered that you could actually stop that heart. Maggie and I had a chance to go to the very first place in the world where they did a heart transplant in South Africa. We even saw the guy's heart. They got it in a jar. And science had came so far where they'd come a long way from medieval medicine to the point where they can open up a human body, stop that heart, put it off to the side, put another one in there from somebody who's been dead, put it inside of there, restart it, and sew it back up. That did not happen in an afternoon of studies. That happened into doctors going on a journey to find out the depths of the human body. They've mapped out your vein system. They've mapped out your nerve system. They've gone into big detail. They know every nook and cranny of the human body because they spent lifetimes understanding that. But what would happen if we did that very same intense study and work on getting to know the creator of the universe? What could we discover about him if we did that? What could we discover about God? The reason why those things have always been there, that possibility has always been an option. We didn't know about it. And by going through there and studying and dissecting and even making mistakes along the way, medicine's come a long way. Wouldn't it be great if the knowledge of God has come a long way because we went on a journey to discover something about God that we did not know? Something, and that ought to be the goal of every Christian in this room, is this week, this year, I want to go on a journey in the pages of this book, and I want to go on a scavenger hunt, so to speak, to find out what hidden treasures are in this book. Are we not taught that they're hidden in this book? Okay, now is God just going to just knock you over the head with them? What does the Bible say? Seek and ye shall find. It's going about it in a way where you're saying, I know it's in here. I know there's more to who you are. You know, Enoch, no doubt, Enoch spent a lot of effort in getting to know who God is. He knows something about God that I don't know. He knows a level of closeness to God that was almost supernatural, to where God, Brother Kermit, said, hey, Enoch, listen, why don't we go eat lunch at my house? And they never came back. It's because, now, let me throw a hypothetical out there. Is God limited to what he can do? Could we rule out that God could ever do that again? He can do whatever he wants to do. Could it actually be, could you say, no way, that could never happen, you could never have another Enoch again? No, I couldn't say that. Because I wouldn't have thought you could do it the first time. Okay? So I would have to say that option's on the table. All right? The problem is, when's the last time there's been an Enoch? When's the last time there's been somebody that craved the closeness of God on that level? It appears he didn't kidnap them. Kidnapping somebody would be taking somebody against their will. I don't think Brother Greg Enoch was kidnapped. I mean, could you imagine him saying, whoa, wait a minute. no can do, God. Wife's got dinner on the table. Yeah, but I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to my grandkids. In fact, there seems to be a closeness there that overrode any other relationship he had on this earth, and it appears it was mutual. it appears that at that point, him going on with God was mutual, that he learned something about God. Maybe God said, hey, it's all right. I'll let you watch it from up here. You'll be right next to him. I watch your grandkids every day. You know, who knows? But I can tell you this without a doubt. There's something about God. There's when we say, I have not seen nor ear heard, there are things that Enoch's eyes seen that my eyes have not seen. There are things that he understood about God that I don't understand about God. A closeness that you could just say goodbye to this old world without death. Death is not an option for us, right? We're not given that choice. Do you want to stay or do you want to go? We're not given that choice. I don't even know if God said to Enoch, hey, listen, it's up to you, but I can do this. We don't have to say goodbye at the end of our walk today. I can just take you on with me. I don't know how that went, but I promise you this. He learned something about God that I don't know. Let's look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29. I just read this to you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. If you look at this again, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's saying, Dave, that there are things that you don't know about me. There are things that you don't understand about me. We were talking about this book of Song of Solomon. You ever read that? I mean, that's kind of a very puzzling book. Well, in the Old Testament, when God was talking to the children of Israel and they were backsliding, he used these words, why do you go a-whoring? And you're wondering, now why in the world are you using that analogy to backsliding Christians when it's got nothing to do with any kind of physical relationship? You know what he was saying? He wanted you to understand the hurt that was in his heart when you and I walk away from God. So he said this, the best way that you can understand the way I feel is as if your wife turned into a prostitute. How would you feel about that? And the reason why he's doing that is because a God, a supernatural being, is trying to communicate to an earthly being and get us to understand who he is. So he has to use things that we understand, and that I understand. Any person in this room could understand the pain and the betrayal that would happen if you found out that a spouse was unfaithful to you, and everybody would know how that would make you feel. And then I can then read that verse and just barely begin to understand why God would feel that way for me. When you get in the book of Song of Solomon, it talks about this beautiful relationship. And in that relationship, it's a correlation between me and Jesus Christ. And with him being the bridegroom and me being the bride. And when you're reading the book of Song of Solomon and you're reading this physical relationship and you're thinking, what does this have to do with God? That is him explaining his love to me in a way that I understand it. Because I understand my love for my wife. I understand her beauty. I understand what she brings to this relationship. I understand what it is to miss her. I understand what it is to long for her. So he's saying, David, I want to teach you something about me. I want you to understand my love for you surpasses this. It goes beyond that. If you think this is a beautiful story, wait till you see what I got for you in heaven. And that's why he's doing that in the book of Song of Solomon. That's an adventure to take. That there's all kinds of things to be unlocked in that book. It helps us to understand a little bit more about who God is. And he says, learn of me. When's the last time? This week. You know what he expects from me? He expects me to learn of him. Maybe he's saying, Dave, this week, if you'll let me, I'm going to teach you something about forgiveness. You know, I can tell you, I can say, hey, you know what? In fact, you remember Mike Van Horn that was preached here? His wife was raped at 17 years old. She was held at a knife point. She was left naked. 17 years old, she was raped. How does she function? How does she forgive that man? I can't teach her that. Greg, I know somebody who can. His name's Jesus. And there's something that lady can learn from Jesus that she can't learn from me. There's a depth of forgiveness that lies in understanding who Jesus Christ is. I mean, you know, unfortunately today there's been people that have been molested and there is deep pain and deep hurt. I cannot heal that. But I know that there is something in that relationship with Jesus Christ that you could learn from him and that can heal any wound that you have. It can take out that root of bitterness. It can take out that pain, and it can teach you something about patience. It can teach you something about love. He can open up this vast chasm of knowledge about these things that we can only dream of by walking with him and talking with him and unlocking the passages in the Bible that talk about these things. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting down with the world's best counselor, and he's sharing his heart with me. He taught Stephen how to forgive. Do you think that Stephen just picked up those sayings by himself? You know, Stephen's story comes after Jesus' story on the cross. Here's Jesus, and he's naked, and he's bleeding, and they're yelling names at him, and they're spitting at him, and they're pulling out his beard, and on that cross, Jesus, the Son of God, does something only God can do, and he says, Father, forgive them. Do you think he just said that so we would have a good verse in the Bible, or do you think 100% Jesus Christ forgave the people who were doing that to him that day? And then all of a sudden, here's Stephen, he's a young preacher boy, and they're yelling at him, and they're spitting at him, and they're throwing rocks at him, and he had the opportunity to learn from Jesus something he couldn't learn from me. On that day, when they were doing that, he looked up to heaven, and he saw Jesus, and you know what he told him to do? He's saying, thank you for being my teacher. Hey, Jesus, will you please forgive them? They don't know what they're doing. And you know, he went on a journey and he lost. Now, when I come to you today and I tell you, hey, you need to forgive somebody, you're automatically going to say, but you don't understand. But you don't know what my life is like. You don't know what you're asking me to do. But I can tell you this. I know for sure that Jesus Christ knows that. And if you will go on that journey, if you only stay in your one little box, if you do not venture out of that box and into that Bible and down that road to where the wind blows and you don't know which direction to go, that is where he teaches you. That is where you'll unlock the truths of this Bible, as when you begin to go out in the storm and you let the wind blow and you say, God, I need you. And he will show you what to do. He's not going to leave you, and you can learn from him. I mean, what about this? God shall supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. Have you heard that verse before? When's the last time that you've ever actually had to pray for something to eat? We don't do that. When's the last time you ever actually had to seriously pray for financial help? Or you needed God to do something that involved Him supplying a need. Once you've gone down that road, you know, this one thing that I say all the time, God doesn't have money problems. Do you know why I know God doesn't have money problems? Because there was a time when I said this, you know the story at Slippery Rock, we borrowed $750,000, I wanted to go to Africa, didn't want to leave him like that. Literally said, if God were to give that church $1 million, I'd go to Africa. Well, guess what happened? God gave that church $1 million. Just like that. So obviously, if you're going to talk to me about needs and money, I'm going to say these words. God doesn't have money problems. And you know what the normal person says? Yeah, but God doesn't, but I do. You know, that's their response. The reason why I am maybe not as afraid to go down that road is I've already been down that road. I've already seen God supply something that you can't make up. You couldn't fabricate that story if you wanted to. You couldn't put all of those pieces together and make a match unless you're God. And what he was saying, Dave, let me teach you something. First off, be careful what you ask. Because I said, God, you do this, I'll go to Africa. So he did it, and guess where I went? Africa. No choice. And then I watched God say, Dave, you know what? $1 million is absolutely nothing to me. Watch this. Boom, just like that, it happened. And because of that, there's something in the back of my mind that I can reference when talk about trusting God. Now, that's just a little itty bit. And I bet you there's things in here that you know about God that I don't know because you've gone down a path I haven't gone down. That there's a journey you've taken that I haven't taken that you know something. Maybe you've gotten a chance where God's pulled back the veil and you've seen it and it's something that's helped you. It's something that you've learned about God. It's something that you've discovered about His kindness. Can God be a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Can He be? Can everybody in this room say that your relationship with God is closer than your actual physical family? Probably not. I mean, do you think that Stephen and Tiny at 11 and 12 years old can call God their best friend at 11 and 12 years old? Probably not. Now, they're going to say that they love Jesus, and they're going to say that He's best friend, but they're not going to understand that until they get a little bit further down the journey, and the world leaves them 100% by themselves and lonely. And then at that moment, it's an opportunity to discover something about God that some people never find. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I mean, the Apostle Paul found that out. He said, all men have forsaken me, yet the Lord stood with me. He discovered that. Let me just show you, read a few, couple other verses. If you would go with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And I want you to look at verse 8. Isaiah chapter 55. And verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I'm going to read that again, and I want you to just, and I'm sure you know these verses, I want you to think about the wording that he's using there. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Then, so now immediately I'm handicapped. God and I think different, right? I mean, God's thoughts are different than a human's thoughts that have been tainted by sin. They're not my thoughts. God's on another level, but I can learn of Him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways are your ways my ways. Again, what God would do and how He would handle situations and the decisions He made are going to be oftentimes very polar opposite to what I would do. Then He says this, For as the heavens are higher than the earth. So how, and what is that? Is heavens the just the atmosphere, or do you go beyond that to the solar system? How far away is the sun? He's given you a distance to let you know that it's not like this. The handicap between you and God isn't just a little handicap. There is a vast chasm that lies between you and him. That there is so much of him between that distance that you will spend the rest of your life trying to figure out everything that there is to know about God. But as you begin to unlock that, if all you do is stay still, if all you do is get in your box, if you never push yourself spiritually, if you never go out into the unknown, and well, for instance, what about telling somebody about Jesus Christ? Do you know that it's a little awkward to walk up to somebody at work? Let's say I work with Alan and I don't know Alan. I work with him every day and I can feel Jesus telling me inside this, hey, you need to tell Alan about Christ. Do you know that to sit down next to somebody at lunchtime and not in a church setting and say this, hey, Alan, can I ask you a question? Alan, if you died today, do you know where you would go? That is not natural for people to do that. A lot of people are shy and even have problems even just being around people, let alone confronting somebody about their eternity in heaven, but we know we're supposed to do that. That is not going to come. That is something that you're going to have to get into the Word of God, and you're going to have to step out into a scary spot and let God help you and teach you something. You're going to have to then go over there and say, all right, I know I'm supposed to do this. I know that this is something that God asked me to do. I don't even know how it's going to be perceived, but I want to do it. Then learn of him and let him help you do that. And then you're going to walk away from that experience being closer to God. How close can you get to God when he's actually speaking to you and he says, Ronnie, tell him about Jesus? Well, no, wait a minute. I don't even know this guy. And what's he going to say? And then Jesus is saying, listen, will you just let me teach you something? I'm going to show you something about me. I love people, Ronnie. And you need to love people. I know they're going to hurt you, but they hurt me. I know that sometimes they won't listen, but they don't listen to me either. And you can learn something from God. What about giving? You know, I mean, when you look at your finances and you think, wow, you know what, 10%, or, well, what's the church going to do with my money anyway? All they're going to do is waste it. Or you can throw 1,000 different things at this. Or you can say, you know what, I don't need to figure out all of that. All I need to know is this, is that it is better to give than to receive. We can say that. There are some people in this room that have absolutely found that out. They've discovered that, and they do it very freely because they've already walked that journey. They already know that God's going to take care of them. They already know that God's going to replace that. God's going to give them an opportunity to give even more. They already understand that. It's because, but sometimes a new Christian comes to that and they're like, hey, do I tithe off of my net or do I tithe off of my gross? Well, that comes from a person who hasn't gone down that road yet, hasn't discovered that God can supply all your needs according to what? His riches and glory. And once you understand that, it's an easy thing to do to make that check out once a week. Why? Because you've already walked down that. You've already learned that about God. You've already discovered that about God. What about why does God do certain things? Why does he make flowers colorful? Why does he make mountains? Why does the sun change colors in the sky? You know what you do? Why don't you just go ask God this week why he does that? And say, God, can you teach me something about you this week that I don't know? God, what if you did this? God, I want to learn something new about you every day. Will you show me? You know, because the alternative to that, let's just read just a couple more. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And then verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 17. And verse 19. And go to verse 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the law in a book out of that which before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he might learn to fear the Lord his God and to keep all his words of this law and these statutes to them. And this is talking about the duties of a king that wants to be a godly king. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, and he may learn to fear the Lord and to keep all the words and these statutes to do them, that his heart not be lifted up above his brethren. He's saying to this king, you don't know everything about being king, but if you'll do this, and it says that he can learn. Do you understand? We do not get the things from God just because you're saved. You have to learn them. You've got to put them in your heart. You've got to understand them. They need to be taught to you. You need to learn them. It is not natural. And there is a receiving of that knowledge that you do have to do. Now, I want you to go on. Let's look at another one. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 18 and down to verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of these nations. Now, on chapter 17, he's telling the king, hey, you need to learn of me. And the next chapter, verse 9, he's saying, and don't learn from the heathen. He's saying in chapter 17, learn of me. And then the next chapter, he says this, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. He's saying, you can learn how to be like this world. You can learn how to be worldly. You can learn how to go after the things of the world. You can be taught those things. You can discover this world. You can discover the darkness. You can discover how wicked it is. You can go as deep as you want to. You know, you read the newspaper and you say, Jeffrey Dahmer, who used to eat people, and you think, that's messed up, right? You know what he found out about evil? There's a depth to it. And he reached close to the bottom. He learned how evil the devil is. He learned how wicked. And when you look at things on the news and people do things to other people, you're witnessing the depth and the knowledge and the perversion of the world without Christ. You do not want to learn that. Okay? You don't want to learn that. And God's saying, don't learn about the pagans in your country. Don't learn from them. If you're around them, if you're taught by them, if you're hanging out with them, you're going to learn their ways. You do not want to learn the ways of this world. You want to learn his ways. And he's telling the king, listen, you need to get in the Bible. You need to learn of me because you are going to pick up knowledge that you don't want. Man, I tell you, if I were to ask testimonies, you ever seen anybody cry when they give a testimony? Randy Burge, right out here. Can you imagine pulling in this parking lot, Greg? And you can walk in this church and say, where'd you get saved? Greg, show me where you got saved up here. You remember? This way? This way? Right there? Straight back? Right there. Right here is where Greg got saved. So when you walk in this building, what you get to look at this spot, and you get to see something, right? Do you know what Randy Bird sees when he pulls in that parking lot? He can point me to the parking spot in which he got arrested in that parking lot for selling drugs in this parking lot. And when you see Randy give his testimony, and you see the tears run down his face, he's saying, I learned something from the world that I wish I never did. I mean, he learned what it's like to be addicted to something, and the Bible talks about that you can learn how to be addicted to the ministry. Totally different. And you can find that this week. There's not anybody in this room that is so knowledgeable and so smart and so close to God that there's not anything you can learn from him this week. It's whether or not you want to go on that journey. Because, you know, Jesus would always talk in parables. And a lot of them, they're mysteries. And he had to explain a lot of them. What he teaches you, you know what he's going to say? Okay, you want to learn about patience? All right, he's not going to just give you a book. He's going to give you an event. That's what he's going to do. And in that event, he's going to then let you learn something from him. If you want to learn something from God this week, it is going to be a real live classroom. He's going to take you on a scavenger hunt, and he's going to show you something about him. Moses got to see something about him. He's up on that mountain. I mean, he's already seen God part the sea. He's seen God do all of these things. And Moses said, you know, God, there's something that I don't know about you. I don't know what you look like. Well, I'd like to know what you look like. So did God just tell him what he looked like, Greg? Well, he did, but it involved a journey. He said, all right, do this. Go get in that rock. He said, go crawl in that rock. And then while you're in that rock, I'm going to put my hand over that rock. Now, this isn't a fairy tale. This is real truth. God, can you imagine being so close to God that you could understand his words that much where he says, go get in the rock? And your wife's saying, you're nuts. I'm not going to go get in that rock. He goes and gets in this rock. And God covers that rock. And then God passes by. And when God got far enough away that he could only see his hinder parts, God moved his hand. And at that moment, Moses learned something about God that I don't know. He knows what he looks like from the back. I don't. When he came down off that mountain, you can tell he'd been to school because his face was glowing. Wouldn't it be great to glow a little bit this week? Because you learned something about God. Wouldn't it be great this week to come by and know in your heart that you got a little closer to the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with? And that's available if we want it. And you know what a good place at this altar would be? You don't have to come here and confess anything today. You can do that when you get home. You know what would be a good thing to do today is just come to this old-fashioned altar and say, God, if it is indeed your ways are higher than mine from the earth to the heavens, then there is so much about you that I don't know. I want to every day discover something new about who you are, but you can't do it sitting in a box. You got to go to school. You got to put yourself out there on that journey and let him teach you. And if you'll do that, he'll be faithful to do that. And why people go through all of this to find treasures on this earth. What gold? What they got to do to find just one little ounce of gold? The miles of dirt you got to move to be able to do that. Well, God is way more valuable than gold. And it's going to take some dirt moving to uncover that gold. But it's there. And you can have it. Would you not like to get closer to God this year? If Brother McBride, he preached a whole week on God coming back. What if he does come back? Would you not like to go out this year knowing as much about God as you possibly can and getting as close to him as you possibly can? Would that not be something we probably should do? Right? All right, then we can go on that journey. Bend a knee at this old-fashioned altar and say, God, I want to learn of you this week. I'll let go of any comfort zone I have. I'll put myself in a spot where I can be teachable. I want to learn from you. I want to know. I want to be able to know what you look like. I want to be so close to you that you'd ask me to go home. Lord, whatever he is available to you. He wants you to have it. It's up to us if whether or not we're going to do the work that it takes to do that. You're going to have to carve some time out and get in this book. You're going to have to make it a priority as though, hey, this is important. And if it is, you'll open it up and read it like, where is it? I know it's in here. God told me, that preacher told me, I've been told my whole life that there is There are heavenly truths that are life-saving, life-helping things in this book. I want to find them. Maybe today if we did that at this altar, this week God will teach us something from it. Let's stand, if you would, with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask the ladies to come to the instruments here.